Initiating download sequence. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Welcome to Scott Harrell's SOS Radio Podcast. Starting now.
Over the last several years, Shanti Feldhahn has written books from extensive research. Because of this, her books have sold more than 3 million copies and translated into 25 different languages. Shanti and her husband Jeff actually teamed up to write their new book. It's called Thriving in Love and Money. And Shanti is joining us today at SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's awesome to be with you.
Shanti, you're a Harvard-trained researcher, and you've written books about marriage, you've written books about kindness, you've written books about conflict, and this new book is about both love and money.
Yes, not that there's ever any conflict around money.
I know, the research that you and Jeff poured into on the subject matter really spanned about 3 years, right?
It did. And let me tell you, this was a really interesting research project for us. I should explain, we do all these big, you know, nationally representative surveys. We do a lot of interviews and focus groups. You know, it's a pretty intensive process. And when this one started, I was like, oh dear, this is the one area left in our marriage that Jeff and I were absolutely not on the same page. So I was actually kind of scared.
So how does that work when you do a whole bunch of research and you both are not on the same page and you realize, wait, here's how couples are looking at love. Here's how couples are looking at money. Here's how people feel loved. Here's how people spend and have different habits. And wait, we don't even have the same habits.
No. Well, see, here's what we actually found. This, to me, was the big issue that changed everything once we realized it, because we weren't studying, the book has nothing to do with like budgeting, for example. Like there's literally nothing about getting out of debt or here's how you do money management, because there's plenty of stuff out there already about that. What we were really tackling is how do you have a great relationship around money? Like how do you not avoid it? Because Jeff and I, that was where we were, right? We didn't fight about it. We just avoided it. And what we found, believe it or not, is that when you're having tension around it, when you're avoiding it, whatever it is about money, it's not about the money. It turns out it's how money makes us feel and how it makes our spouse feel. And once we understand there's all this stuff kind of running under the surface, kind of worries and expectations and perceptions and thoughts about how things should operate, we don't even know all those thoughts are down there. And once we realize them, it really changes everything in our ability to have a great relationship around money.
We're talking about how we can actually thrive in both love and money, and we're talking with author Shanti Feldhahn today at SOS Radio. And as you and your husband Jeff did this extensive research project, really understanding couples and their relationship with love and their relationship with how they look at finances and things that stress them out related to that, an article actually came out from Time Magazine which almost echoed a lot of what you were finding in your research.
Yeah, there is a recognition, I think, thankfully, that we need to address this. It turns out that the biggest obstacle to financial freedom, right, the biggest obstacle to living a life of generosity, it turns out the biggest obstacle isn't lack of a budget or that you have too much debt or that you have too much spending and not enough saving. Like, all those things are issues, obviously, but it turns out the biggest obstacle is the inability of a husband and wife to sit around the kitchen table and talk about it. And that right there, it turns out 77% of us can't do. Only 23% of people can really talk well about money kind of without defensiveness and awkwardness. And yeah, they're just cool. Like they just come together and talk about it. 77% of us think that those people are just weird. We need a little help.
So what is the key to having those conversations about finances without it getting awkward and without it getting defensive? Because we all have different perspectives that we bring into our marriage.
Yes. And actually, to be candid, that is one of the key factors, is recognizing that you have different perspectives. We found that there were five big factors running under the surface of why we either have a great relationship around money or a frustrating relationship around money. Like, there's five things going on. And one of the things that's going on, one of those factors, is that it turns out that we're simply not valuing what the other person values. Like, I just don't recognize that something different is in my husband's head than is in mine. And I'll give you a silly example of that, which is whenever we go out to dinner and, you know, we eat out as a family or just Jeff and I as a couple, and we're all happy until the waiter comes around and says, you know, what can I get you to drink? And Jeff orders a water and I order a Diet Coke. And he tells me later, we didn't realize that this was actually happening, but he tells me later that he's sort of kind of subconsciously thinking to himself, like, that's a ridiculous use of $3 right there. And especially if I order a refill later and have to pay for it, like, that's a ridiculous use of $6. And it's interesting because, again, we wouldn't have been able to put words to this, but for me, what I value is having something to drink with my meal. Like, I would rather, if I am not going to be able to have something to drink with the meal, I'd rather stay home and save the money. Like, I'm not going to enjoy the steak dinner or whatever. We're just different. And we value things that are different from each other. And that's a silly little example, but understanding that makes a difference because it turns out that those money issues in our marriage are made up of thousands of those silly little examples.
When someone gets mad, when they get frustrated, there's always more to the story than just the root of negative emotion, right? We're talking with Shanti Feldhahn today at SWS Radio. Shanti, you and your husband Jeff have been married about 22 years. You met at Harvard where you were both studying. You spent 13 of those years conducting relationship research. And now you actually have a new book that's about dealing with love and dealing with money. And in this book, you discuss like five different factors that determine couples' responses to money-related conflicts.
Yes, we do. It turns out that there are these things running under the surface that we don't realize are there, that when we're having conflict around money, it's not about the money. It's about all this other stuff. And we don't know why we get irritated. For example, if I have had a long day and I'm driving home from some meetings and I call Jeff on the phone and I say, you know, honey, how about I just drive by and I'll just pick up some Chinese food for dinner, right? And he goes, well, you know, that'll be about $35. And, you know, I have some chicken in the fridge from Costco. That's like $12. Like, why don't I just grill the chicken? Why does that bug me? why do I get irritated by this? And for Jeff, why does he get irritated that I would call and ask? And here's what we didn't realize that we were thinking until we did this research and realized there are these other things going on under the surface. For me, I'm thinking, you know, we haven't had any time as a family. The kids have been all over the place and doing all these different activities. And, you know, if we cook the chicken, you know, we'll have to cook it and then, you know, not just eat it, but there's cleanup. And then we're going to have to start the homework with the kids. And, you know, $35 to buy this sort of precious hour of family time, like, you bet. Like, absolutely, in my mind, I'm willing to make that trade-off.
Yeah.
Interesting, sort of people who sort of view the reverse, this may not be the husband, it may be the wife, because there's no gender correlation between spending and saving. But it turns out that the other spouse is sometimes thinking something like, you know, if you keep doing this, buying the takeout, we're going to be homeless in retirement. That's kind of in the other person's heart. So it's really recognizing what is going on under the surface.
You know, it's so interesting. In Philippians 4, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that we're talking about today on SWS Radio, about our relationships and how we deal with love, how we deal with money. And we're talking with Shanti Feldhahn. And why is it that so many couples today have so much deep-rooted fear surrounding money?
Well, it turns out there are fears in our heart that are not really money-related fears. They run deeper than that. But it impacts how we think about money. It turns out that there are these deep insecurities and worries in our heart, and it's coming out in how we handle money. And I'll give you an example. There were very few things we found in the research that were gender related, but this was one of them. It turns out men and women tend, not always, but we tend to have two different sets of insecurities. And for a guy, the insecurity or the fear, the worry tends to be this feeling like, am I going to be able to provide? Like, how am I going to be able to provide? Like, there's this thought, like the analogy that we use in the book is it's almost like the feeling of being pulled towards the edge of a cliff. You know that feeling if you've got a fear of heights and you're standing at the edge of the cliff, you sort of feel like you're about to be pulled over. I mean, it's kind of stupid. It's this sort of gut level feeling. And so you try to stay away from the edge. And for a guy, it tends to be this feeling like I'm going to be pulled over the edge and not be able to provide for the family. And so he tries to work a lot of hours. He works extra overtime to try to stay away from the edge. Well, it turns out that for women, yeah, we have money concerns just like anybody else, but we're not feeling like I'm about to be dashed on the rocks below. Our cliff tends to be a bit different. It's more, are we okay as a family? Like, are we okay in the marriage? Are the kids feeling loved? Is everybody healthy? And that's the cliff that we tend to get pulled over. So when he's working all these extra hours and he's not going to Johnny's soccer games and he's taking the extra overtime or whatever, and we're feeling distant and maybe we're squabbling a bit and the kids seem unhappy because they're not seeing their dad. Like, she's truly seeing this as the edge of a cliff, that this is a real issue. Like, we got to be careful. And so she tries to stay away from the edge, which can mean spending time together, doing things together. And oh, guess what? That often means spending money to go out to eat or like go to the movies or go on vacation. And so that makes him feel like he's getting pulled towards the edge of his cliff. It turns out that our efforts to stay away from our edge, it tends to make the other person's fear worse. And it really matters for us to recognize, for me to recognize with Jeff, you mean you really worry about being able to provide? Like that's a thing? Like, you're really actually worried that we might be homeless in retirement? And for him to recognize, wait, you really, just because I'm distant, you mean you really worry about the relationship? Like, if I drive away angry to work and we don't have it resolved, like, you're thinking about it all day? That's a thing? Recognizing what's in each other's heart and how it comes out and how we handle money, man, it just makes a big difference for the relationship.
You know, for anyone who's ever been in any sort of relationship, you know, the communication is super important. It's also crucial for healthy relationships that not communicating puts fears and things and anxiety on our spouse sometimes. And we're talking about it with Shanti Feldhahn today at SWS Radio. It's like when we have anxiety and fear about things like related to money or related to security or related to love because our spouse has been distant lately in the season that we're in, it's interesting how our own fears, when we don't communicate that, it still affects our spouse.
Well, and I mean, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense, right? Because God designed us to come together as one, right? He designed us to be one in marriage, one team, to live in unity, which requires being able to sort of understand what's going on in my heart, what's going on in your heart. And yet, this is one of those areas when it comes to money, it is sometimes that we're kind of, it's not just that we're not communicating, it's that we're resisting being one in our marriage, and it's coming out in how we handle money. And we don't think of it this way, but this is exactly what's behind it, because all of us have this, there's this sinful tendency where we kind of just want to do what we want to do, right? Like, you kind of just want to handle things the way you want to handle things. And so sometimes, unfortunately for some of us, it's a lot easier to just, you know what, how about you have your account, your bank account over here, and I'll have my bank account over here. And, you know, your paycheck goes into yours and my paycheck goes into mine. And so we don't have to talk about it because we don't have to handle money together because I can kind of do what I want to do. And that's truly, when you look at the root of it, that's not a communication issue. That's a oneness issue. Like, the communication and not communicating is just the symptom. It's really kind of, I just want to do what I want to do. Now, some people listening to this might go, well, you know, I don't do that. We share our bank accounts. We're one in money. And maybe you are. Absolutely. Maybe you are. But we all have some of this in there. And so I might ask, for example, okay, maybe you share bank accounts, but do Do you ever try to get the Amazon package off the front step before your spouse gets home? Like, that is still the same lack of oneness or resistance to oneness or resistance to accountability or transparency that causes some couples to separate their accounts entirely.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it's what's under the surface. That's why we say, you know what, when we're having tension around money, which, of course, this is a huge issue in marriage, right? And one of the reasons that this is a huge issue in marriage is that it's not about the money. It's about all those things running under the surface. It's how money makes us feel, how it makes our spouse feel. And to be candid, the most important thing that we can do is learn some of these things about ourselves. What is being triggered in me? Why do I get defensive when you want to get Chinese food or whatever? Like, what is it that's coming under the surface? So that's why Jeff and I spent so much time on this research project, because there's plenty of resources out there to help people with creating a great budget. But a lot of us don't ever get to creating a great budget to begin with, because we just can't come together around money. And if you know this stuff, suddenly money becomes an opportunity for connection instead of conflict.
Well, we're talking to Shanti Feldhahn today at SWS Radio. She and her husband, Jeff, just wrote a new book. It's called Thriving in Love and Money. It's 5 game-changing insights about your relationship, your money, and yourself. Thanks for checking in with us today and sharing, Shanti.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.